Good morning, everyone. Good afternoon. Welcome to Radio Laurier News at Noon. I'm your host, Jeffrey, along with my co-host, Rajni. Today is March 15th, 2021, and welcome to the show.
Hi, everyone. So today we'll just start off with your usual daily COVID update. So unfortunately, we have seen an increase to about 1,200 cases today. Which is less than the 1,700 that were reported yesterday or over the weekend, but it still shows a kind of concerning trend of cases going above 1,000, even though we've been putting those lockdown measures in place. So, and another piece of kind of bad news is that this week we will have the smallest, like one of the smaller than normal shipments of the COVID vaccines scheduled over the next week. But fortunately, they're expecting that to increase by next week, March 22. Next week is March 22, right?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Yeah, so hopefully that will increase by next week. And companies are supposed to dramatically ramp up their deliveries of these vaccines within the coming week, so that's a good sign for us.
Nice.
Yeah. And in case anyone was wondering how, how the vaccine rollout has been in the U.S. Although they have had more vaccines than us, and their curve has flattened, but the way that they're dealing with the vaccines being administered to that many people is, I don't think it's that smart. And according to this article, it says that the way that they've been doing it by easing restrictions little by little is not doing very well. It won't do very well because it has a potential of like creating more waves afterwards, because we haven't allowed people to like stop the spread, you know, like the vaccine is one thing, but people still have to take precautions and like take measures to stop the spread from happening.
Yeah, the vaccine's not like absolute. I don't think people really understand that. Like, it's not fully, like preventable, you know what I mean? Like, it doesn't
fully like, you still have to take preventative measures. And although they have gotten like very high volumes of people vaccinated, is that they're not, according to Anthony Fauci, he says that the US shouldn't be easing restrictions before the daily numbers reach below 10,000 and maybe even less. But, like, the governors in various states, like, I think Texas and Florida, are reducing their restrictions so people can gather, people don't have to wear masks anymore. And they're basically just acting too soon, you know, like, they're celebrating too soon that they got the vaccine and everything.
Yeah, I swear, like, certain states in the South, like Florida, Texas, Louisiana, like, I swear they've been mask, no mask,
yeah,
mostly no mask, then mask. Like, I swear every week, Texas is removing their mask order. I'm like, did they not, you know, like,
yeah, like, didn't you already do that? Did you even have a mask order to begin with?
Yeah, like, I'm so, I get so confused by the state's individual, like, sovereignty, like, how each state has its own,
yeah.
I guess it's the same in Canada, but that's just such a terrible idea.
Yeah, it's a different level. And actually, one of my friends, she goes to school in Florida, and she said that her roommate went out to like a party or a club or something and brought back COVID and gave it to the other person in her apartment.
Wow. That's to be expected, though, in Florida. Let's be real.
But can you imagine being that person's roommate? Like, they just don't care about the well-being of anyone else.
Yeah,
in their house. Like, what if the person had asthma, you know?
Or like, you know, their parent, they're gonna go see their parents.
Yeah,
yeah, that's Jeez. Rough. That's definitely rough.
And so, oh, one more thing about the U.S. So, as you know, spring break is around this time, and unfortunately, that's meant like huge crowds flocking to Florida beaches, and this apparently can. I mean, of course, they would they could unknowingly bring back their virus when they go home. You know, and
Definitely.
Yeah. Also, air travel has unfortunately gotten a lot higher than it has been for the pandemic, because like, I think, again, people are getting more complacent.
In like, prices air travel is, Or within, in like amount
within,
of
within the US.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's interesting, because we have the same thing on Wednesday with St. Patrick's Day.
Oh, yeah.
Basically, like, essentially. What's your thoughts on that, the St. Patrick's Day coming up?
To be honest, I've never actually been to a St. Patrick's Day event. So, I mean, I don't really see the... I don't know. Like, I'm not missing anything, pretty much, that it's not happening this year.
Yeah. Like,
it's not really... It's neither here nor there for me.
Yeah. Honestly, like, I've never understood St. Patrick's Day, like, at all. It's kind of just, like, an excuse to drink
for, yeah,
like, for non-Irish people, you know? Like,
exactly. And I'm not into day drinking anyway, so there's really no point.
Yeah, like, day drinking is kind of, like, a terrible thing, because, like, you'll start drinking, and then you're guaranteed to get, like, a headache at some point during the day, you know? Like, you're guaranteed to feel terrible at some point.
Yeah. It's like, why are you waking up at 10 to start drinking? I don't know. That just seems weird to me.
Nah, it's definitely excessive. I'm not going to lie. Like, I've definitely done that. I've definitely done that before, but it's one of those things where it's just kind of like, if you know, all your roommates are doing it, it's kind of like a peer pressure thing. Like, I feel like a lot of people,
yeah,
like spring break or St. Patrick's Day less because they want to and more because they have, like, fear.
Exactly. Like, they feel that pressure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so that's all from my side of the news. What do you want to talk about?
Well, Rajni, thanks for asking. I have a couple of topics to discuss today. Where should I start? I'm going to start with the Catholic Church.
Oh.
So, essentially, I'm sure, do you know much about Pope Francis, Rajni?
No, but from what I've heard, he's like a progressive pope, right? Like, I think, was he the one who was like accepting of gay marriage and everything?
Yeah, so exactly. This is exactly where the story starts. So essentially, Pope Francis has been probably the most progressive pope in history. He's an Argentinian. In 2013, he's essentially said, "Who am I to judge about same-sex marriages?"
Yeah.
And as of yesterday or this morning, the Vatican has basically said that they cannot bless same-sex unions.
Oh, I saw that this morning.
Yeah. So essentially, the Congregation of the Doctrine of the Faith, so the CDF, published a decree saying that such blessings cannot be considered licit. And the response was approved by Pope Francis. So that's interesting. That's interesting.
That's kind of backwards, man. Like, I thought, I was kind of, like, hopeful for him when he was elected pope. Because of he seemed to have, like, some very progressive views for, like, an old Catholic man.
Yeah, but, yeah. No, exactly.
It's, like, going back on everything.
Yeah, it's strange because there's not, like, a lot of info just because this is, like, a relatively recent bit of news is happening, but there's not really too much info into any of, like, statements by Pope Francis. So I just thought that was strange. Like,
that is strange
because he's, especially in the my source where I got the story from, they talk about how progressive he's been in the past, especially, like, in his first couple years as being the pope. He sought to adopt a more inclusive tone towards LGBTQ people.
Yeah.
March 2013, when he was elected. So, it's strange. I mean, honestly, it's probably, like, pressure.
Yeah, like, probably.
The source mostly said that a lot of it is pressure from, like, the majority conservative Catholic people, like the 1.3 billion or...
Wow.
1.2 billion people. The majority of Catholics are obviously pretty conservative. So I'm assuming it's sort of just pressure from the church, from his peers, but that's just kind of sad to see, to be honest.
Yeah, that's really disappointing.
Yeah.
I mean, can you imagine being so, like, what else, do you have nothing else to do that you have to just worry about who's marrying someone else when it doesn't even affect you?
Yeah, I know. It's... I love...
Sorry.
Go ahead.
Sorry, I honestly don't get it why people are like against marriage equality, because it doesn't affect you whatsoever. It's none of your business. Like, why are you debating the fact about someone being able to marry who they want?
No, it's definitely strange, especially at this point. Like when it like when it first started blowing onto the scene, like it's whatever. It makes sense just in the sense that people
like it's a new thing.
Yeah, it's a new thing. People were like not used to it.
And yeah,
people are generally more conservative. Now, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, we have many gay, lesbian, like LGBTQ people in positions of power.
Yeah,
we have many like super hyper famous LGBTQ like musicians and artists.
Exactly. I mean, like, gay marriage is now like a, if not mainstream, it's like approaching onto the mainstream. Like, most people don't really care.
Yeah, it's
so.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it's just crazy. I really don't get it, because it's like they're not going, like, you're not gonna send them away if you like you know what I'm saying? Like, by doing this, like, what are you accomplishing? Like,
exactly, you're just making them leave the Catholic Church. And like, at the end of the day, if it's a church, wouldn't you want to like keep your members up?
Yeah, like it would benefit them unequivocally if they didn't do what they just did. They benefit monetarily, they'd benefit from more
people would probably be like more willing to be Catholic if they could associate it with like those progressive values, you know?
Yeah, exactly. It's a strange one, and I mean, a lot of the stuff that goes on in the world just makes literally no sense. But
yeah.
I'm gonna move on from that. That was just a little quick one. In the next piece of news, so Quebec and Ottawa have combined to invest $100 million to build an electric vehicle battery plant in Quebec. Oh.
Wow.
They're essentially investing in the new Lion, it's either Lion or Lion, electric factory north of Montreal, which will create supposedly more than 100 jobs, which seems really low to me, but...
Wait, more than 100?
Yeah, just 100 jobs, and they're investing $100 million. Kind of strange, but I'm not. That just shows you the mechanization of labor in our society. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, I'm sure a majority of those jobs are just taken over by robots. Because you know what I'm saying? How is only 30 people working in a huge electric? Yeah, like how does, I don't know.
Yeah.
So just to give some more specifics on the deal, it's pretty new. I think it happened this morning. So the governments of Canada and Quebec are going to invest $100 million to help build a factory north of Montreal, as I mentioned. Trudeau made his first visit to Montreal in several months to make the announcement. Mm-hmm. And this was today, alongside the Premier of Quebec, François Legault.
Mm-hmm.
So each government's going to go 50-50 and contribute $50 million each. So the government of Quebec and then the federal government, I guess. And these are going to be loans to the... Lion Electric Company.
Okay.
Essentially, it's to set up a highly automated battery pack assembly plant. Oh. And a total of 30 million of the loans that will be given will be forgivable if the company meets conditions, which means keeping the jobs in Quebec instead of outsourcing them.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess that's also probably why there's less jobs, because it's in Canada.
Yeah, I guess there's a... Maybe less population there. But still, 100 feels like very small to me.
Yeah, no, yeah. Strange. But, I mean, it says here that when it's finished in 2023, it will employ 135 people.
Oh, okay.
Which is still small. Like, you think a factory would be like around 200 to 500 people.
Yeah, exactly. And if it's a bigger factory, like 1,000.
Yeah, and it's like an electric, like, it's obviously complex work. So you'd assume they need the extra bodies. So that's why I'm pretty certain a lot of those jobs went to, like, robots or whatever, you know?
So what does that factory make? The batteries for electric cars?
Yeah, so essentially it's making batteries for electric cars, trucks, like, basically just vehicles, buses, like, everything. So it's... Okay. In theory, it should be a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
There's not too much about it because it just sort of got announced this morning. But
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see how it goes.
That seems like it's a good sign for the future of electric cars.
Yeah,
if hopefully. If you can make the batteries right here in Canada, I think that would probably make it more accessible to more people.
Yeah, I agree. Let's move on. I have another story. This one honestly is really sad, but I think it needs some attention. So, as you know, there's been a conflict going on in Syria since 2011, like a pretty brutal conflict between the government, ISIS, international forces. Just, you know, it's a whole kind of cluster of chaos, basically. And I don't know why this particular child got like a segment in the news. I got this from Reuters. So Mohammed Abu Radan, he's a 10-year-old boy in Syria, like 10 years old. Like, he was born in 2011.
Yeah.
And essentially, because his father got like heart disease and he couldn't work. So Mohammed basically has been catching a bus every morning, like I think it's like an hour bus to go work in a factory for 10 hours a day.
Bro.
And then he comes back and he's the only person in his family that works.
Oh my God.
It's him, his mom, three sisters, and his dad has heart disease. And I assume the reason that the girls don't work is because of like the society or whatever.
Oh, wait, how old are his sisters? Older, younger?
I think they're probably around his age. So like, it makes sense that they don't work. I guess the mom has to look after them.
Yeah.
So he's the only, so basically this little guy, he's been going 10 kilometers to the cleaning product factory where he works at, and he only earns $13 a day, basically.
Wow, that's crazy.
Which honestly, compared to some stories I've heard, is like a lot better, because I've definitely heard like $1 a day, but still, that's still terrible. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
He's not even an adult, he's 10 years old.
Yeah, he's literally 10 years old. He was born in 2011. Wow. And this man's he's basically a man. Like, you know, he's basically skipped childhood and went straight to manhood.
Jeez.
And, I'm not sure exactly how he got onto the news specifically, because I'm pretty sure there must be, like, thousands of children like him in Syria alone just because of the conflict. But either way, I read it and I was like, man, I gotta shout this kid out, man. He's doing more than me. I do in like a month, he does in a day, you know, like just pure labor.
Yeah, for real. Like, it really makes you feel more grateful for what you have.
Yeah, like,
you know, things like this. Like, what were you doing when you were 10 in grade 6?
Like, what are you even doing now? You know what I'm saying? Like, think about it like this. Like, everyone's just constantly complaining because of COVID and we're locked in and this and that. And yeah, I totally agree, because it's definitely not a good time.
It could be a lot worse, though.
Yeah, like, we're forced to just, like, stay at home all day and just kind of, like, chill. You know what I'm saying? Or do work, whatever. Like, this kid is facing all the mental stuff we're facing.
Plus, having to support his family.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, and physical, like, labor, 10 hours a day. He's missing his childhood.
Yeah.
He's obviously, like, there's no way he's not, like, some sort of depression or anxiety. Like, you're 10 years old and you're taking a bus to work, like, he could easily get abducted. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's so many things that could go wrong.
Exactly. Like, most people wouldn't allow their 10-year-old to take the bus alone here.
Yeah, definitely not. Like, 10.2 kilometers, like, that's insanity.
That's crazy.
Yeah, so shout out to, I keep forgetting his name, sorry. Mohammed Abu Radan. I think I'm saying that right. Probably saying it wrong. Real shout out to this guy, man. I wish there was, like, a link to donate to him or something. But there's not. But I assume, this is kind of a random assumption, but if people are reporting on people like who are in in distress, like immediate distress, like, you assume that the reporters, whoever, would like help them in the immediate sense. You know what I'm saying?
That's a conflict for a lot of reporters, because it's like, on one hand, they have to maintain objectivity for the story, but then on the other hand, like, how are you gonna just see, like, that kid working so hard for only $13 a day and not do anything.
Yeah. You know? See,
like, not do anything aside from just tell his story. Because, like, on one level, that will do something. But on the other level, like, publicity won't make him be able to eat.
You know? No, like, if I was a reporter, I would have, like, just given the kid everything in my wallet. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Think about it. $13 a day. If you give this man $500, like, you're giving him whatever. I can't do the math. Like, what? Like, a month worth of, you know, work.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, obviously, it's easier said than done, and it's not as simple as just, oh, I'm going to give him money. I'm going to give him food. But, like, you think if you're going to report on this, you should probably use the resources that flew you to that country.
Yeah, to, like, try and get some, at least not, maybe if not donations, just at least, like, sorry, not just the publicity, but at least get some donations.
Like, something, because people, or, like,
a way for people to get him help.
Yeah, like, he obviously has immediate struggle, you know what I'm saying? Like, even if you're helping him out in the day and it's only helping him for the day, like, you know what I'm saying? That's still something.
Mm-hmm. It's like a drop in the bucket, at least.
I'm going to assume that the people helped him out. I definitely think they probably did, but if they didn't, that's just terrible. But, yeah, I'm going to move on to my last story, which is honestly pretty boring, but also fairly important for Canadians. So, Rogers Communication Incorporated has signed a deal to buy Shaw Communication Incorporated, and it's valued at $26 billion. So, under the plan, Rogers will pay $40.50 in cash for all of Shaw's issued and outstanding Class A and Class B stock shares. I have no idea what that means, to be honest. Shaw's.
They're going to pay people back $40 per unit of Shaw stock.
Okay. Interesting. Yeah.
I don't know. I'm just asking if that was what they meant. Because, like, it can't be that their whole entire stock is worth $40.
I think it has to be the giving per.
For sure.
I don't know what Class A and Class B.
No, I don't know what that is either.
Yeah, so if anyone knows that, then shout out to you. So where was I? Yeah, so Shaw's Class B shares closed at $23.90. So I guess the difference between the Class A and the Class B is the price.
Yeah.
Okay,
so that's the per unit.
Yeah, something like that. And so, as part of the transaction, the company said Rogers is going to invest $2.5 billion in the 5G, the evil, dreaded 5G network, over the next 5 years across Western Canada. And this is good, but also potentially not good. Rogers also said it will create a new $1 billion fund dedicated to connecting rural, remote, and Indigenous communities across Western Canada with high-speed internet service.
Oh, that's good to hear.
Yeah, so the deal, which is subject to other customary closing conditions, as well as approvals from Canadian regulators, is expected to close in the first half of 2022.
Mm.
So, this might sort of sound like, it might sound like some boring financial news or whatever, you know? But people need to take into account, I don't know. I'm pretty sure Shaw Media, like, was it independent before this? Like,
it was. This is just, like, more convergence for the Canadian media scene. Like, this is just bringing back all of my CS101.
Oh my god! Yeah, you were in that class.
Yeah, you have to take it in first year. Remember?
Yeah, I was in that. Yeah.
So it's like there was only like four major telecoms companies, right? Like Bell, Rogers, Shaw, and Post Media.
Yeah, I think there's one for Quebec, like Quebecor.
Yeah. And then now we don't even have Shaw anymore because Bell is gonna buy it. And I think that's gonna increase the price that people have to pay for, like, their internet and phone services. Because, like, I guess everyone knows that Canada has, like, really expensive telecoms prices, you know, like.
Yeah.
If you think about, like, your cell phone bill, your cable bill, internet, everything is really expensive here.
Extremely expensive.
It's so expensive because there's only, like, four companies, and now there's going to be only, like, three companies providing that service.
No, that was, as soon as I saw that, I was like, how is this allowed to happen?
Yeah.
How is this allowed to happen? And 5G, man, like, can we chill? Can we chill out? Can we just be happy with what we have, you know? Like,
wait, so what exactly is, like, the benefits of 5G?
It's supposed to be faster, more, like, stronger connection or whatever. Like, you know, just the normal. But, I mean, first of all, obviously, I think we've all heard the conspiracies about its health damaging and how, you know, tracking, which obviously it definitely does. You know what I'm saying? Like, it definitely has some upgraded, like, security, whatever.
Yeah, we're already being tracked, though. Like,
yeah, we're already being tracked.
But, like, if you're on social media, you're being tracked.
Oh yeah, if you're just alive, you're being tracked, essentially.
Yeah.
But I feel like this is probably just, I don't know, I don't like change, Rajni. I don't get it. We don't need this. Like, you know what I'm saying? People are out here starving and you're investing $1 billion, like, so that people can get 5G. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just...
Just because you can doesn't mean you should.
Exactly. That's an amazing way to put it. Just because you can't...
Yeah.
You can, pardon me, doesn't mean you should. But yeah, I think we're coming to the end of our discussion. I think I'm out of topics. You're out of topics. We covered some good stuff today. Thanks so much, everybody, for tuning in to Radio Laurier News at Noon. My name is Jeffrey Pearson with Rajni.
And I'm Rajni.
Yeah, sorry. And, yeah, guys.
We hope you enjoyed the show.
And have a great week, and don't get 5G.
See you next week. Yeah. Have a good week.
Bye.
Bye.